I'm humbled to be here. It's so exciting for me because I recognize so many of your last names that I've pored over your work at 2 in the morning, so I feel like I know you well. Okay, without further ado, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Jessica Stroop, MPH, Dr. Umset Meyer, Sam Stroop, PhD candidate, and myself. We're all part of Baylor University. You guys are all familiar with these statistics. We're doing great on initiation, but it's the exclusivity at 3 months, 6 months that's the focus of today. Self-efficacy, you guys are also familiar with this definition. The belief that one has the ability to carry out a specific behavior. Can I do it? Breastfeeding self-efficacy is a modifiable factor. That's what's exciting about this. You know, it's the same concept. If I bomb in the next 8 minutes, I will be reluctant to resubmit next year. Sources of self-efficacy expectations. There are four of them. Performance accomplishments, kind of what I was just saying. Did you nurse your last baby successfully? Was it a nightmare? If your baby effortlessly latches on, or did you have a difficult experience? Vicarious experience, hearing about other people's stories. This could be friends, family. Seeing other women in public, and then peer counselors. You know, when I teach my breastfeeding classes, I always say, you know, what have you heard about breastfeeding? And I, you know, it's very graphic, visual, cracked nipples, bleeding, you know, all sorts of awful, and I'm sure you're familiar with this in your line of work as well. Did anyone ever have a wonderful breastfeeding experience? Do you know someone? Do you have that sister-in-law that loves to talk about breastfeeding? And usually it's silent, unfortunately. Okay, a third source would be verbal persuasion. This is healthcare professionals. There's that family and friends again. And you think about how much of our pediatric visits are affirming of breastfeeding and supportive, and or do we talk about what can go wrong and negative in that regard? Source should be deemed credible by the individual, and that just backs up the effectiveness of peer counselors, right? And then finally, physiological and emotional states. If a woman is, if she's tired, anxious, stressed, she's watching those droplets come out of the pump, you know, it's not enough. It's self-actualizing, isn't it? First of all, it ebbs away at her self-confidence. And then we see that there's that mind-body connection, actually inhibit her oxytocin production, which is key in milk transfer, and then interferes with that letdown reflex. So the whole thing is self-actualizing. If she has low confidence, it can really snowball. So me and my colleagues, we looked at, we did a simple literature search looking at breastfeeding self-efficacy, looking at this specific tool, the self-efficacy scale, authored by Dennis and Foe. And they began with an extensive literature review, looking, and they concluded with two key factors, maternal skill and maternal beliefs and attitudes about breastfeeding, that these contribute to her sense of self-efficacy. The scale has been rigorously tested for validity and reliability. It's proven robust over time through pilot testing in its inception, kind of going back on mothers' suggestions and altering it after that. So that the final instrument has 43 items, 5-point Likert response scale, and then they came up with the short form, which has been proven just as valid and reliable. And it has a 14 item scale, which I like because I hate the idea of new moms filling out long surveys, even though I love research. So to sum up, we looked at 10 studies, 7 studies looked at self-efficacy on duration using this scale, and there it is, self-efficacy predicted duration, not a shocker there. One study found that you could use the scale to predict teen initiation. And then 3 studies looked at self-efficacy and exclusivity using the scale, and again, not a shocker. If higher self-efficacy, she was going to breastfeed longer. Significant predictor of exclusivity, found one study. They've also used the scale as an intervention. Not effective was using it like any kind of journaling or workbook type activity prenatally, but what was effective was a breastfeeding workshop, specifically geared to building a woman's self-confidence. That was successful. And then they used the scale itself as the intervention so that they could assess her level of self-confidence, tailor the intervention specifically around where she's at, and that was successful. It was a small sample, so not really statistically significant, but begs further investigation. You know, a lot of demographic characteristics have not been, I mean, we know, like, socioeconomic status, education, those are key, but as far as looking at modifiable things, maternal perception of infant weight gain was key in, or it was a key independent indicator of high breastfeeding self-efficacy. That's a lot of words. Other uses of the breastfeeding self-efficacy scale. This thing is versatile. The development of new tools, so other authors have used it to create new tools. It's been used as a control measure, so looking at the impact of baby-friendly practices on breastfeeding rates. Similarly, training effectiveness. So they, you know, they would implement the training, but see how it affected maternal self-efficacy both before and after the baby-friendly training measures. There's some ambiguity on when to use. The studies use it anywhere from you know, when they gave birth and then up to 8 weeks postpartum. Seemed to be the consensus that it's most useful 1 to 2 weeks postpartum. This gives mom a chance to breastfeed and a more accurate picture of her self-efficacy level. What is exclusive breastfeeding? There's some ambiguity about this. Thankfully, hopefully, most people are picking up on the Joint Commission definition, but amongst the studies, that varied, so it's hard to compare the results. There was also some discussion of long form versus short form, but the short form is proven valid and reliable, so it's probably a great idea to use that unless it's not available in the language that you are looking for. Breastfeeding self-efficacy can independently predict breastfeeding patterns. So, in summary, we see that these are both valid and reliable measurements. They can assess maternal confidence with accuracy, and they are predictors of breastfeeding success, and they are techniques to increase her self-efficacy as well, so not only assessment, but as an intervention. It's breastfeeding self-efficacy is kind of unique because it's independent versus the demographic data. Future research, more diverse sampling. That was one thing that was key throughout this, is that was really lacking. Other recommendations would be to alter social norms to improve maternal confidence. So if, you know, you think about, well, do we hide our mothers? Are our mothers seen? The more we see that, the more normalized it is, and that can affect a woman's self-confidence on her own to say, oh, I can do that. See, she's doing it. Other recommendations. I would like to read an article about the relationship between perceived insufficient milk and breastfeeding self-efficacy. It's one of the number one reasons women wean prematurely before they wanted to or they don't meet their breastfeeding goals. So what is that connection between self-confidence? Also, what is the impact of hospital supplementation specifically on her self-confidence? And then developing and assessing interventions aimed at increasing breastfeeding self-efficacy. I mean, that really, I have not seen it exist. I mean, I've seen it exist in articles and in pilot studies, but as far as a program specifically aimed to increase a woman's self-efficacy. You know, when I take La Leche calls, I'm a certified lactation counselor, and there's a big difference between that and an IBCLC in terms of skill set. So I can do basic troubleshooting, you know, let's take a look at your latch. But sometimes I hang up the phone and I think, well, I don't think I was really helpful. I have no idea. I don't know. And I'll tell her straight up. But then I think, well, you know what? That conversation was really just about self-confidence. It's like, hey, you know what? You're doing the right thing. And what else can you be doing? And keep that baby close. And just really basic. And maybe that's my job. It's just self-confidence. There's a lack of literature that talks about the effects of self-efficacy on outcomes beyond 6 months. We're really fixated, and rightly so, on the 3-month, 6-month mark, but how does self-confidence impact how long she will breastfeed beyond that. And obviously, if we could use larger sample sizes and have more minority communities investigated, that would be helpful too, to give us a better picture. And I have no relationships to disclose. Thank you so much.
Questions? Brianna?
Oh, yeah, that would be a problem, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Is it feeling that that's when we need to assess, or do we need to do an in-hospital assessment and then periodic to see if their confidence is going up or going down, and then figuring out what are the triggers in that one-week period that are causing that fall? Because we've been inherited on confidence.
Right.
They went to the pediatrician, or they went to their friends, and then they're like, you know, then their confidence goes up.
No, that's an excellent point. That would be the ideal, actually, if you could do those intermittent assessments like that. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Kathleen?
I wondered if you knew if there was a relationship between the prenatal self-efficacy and the postpartum one. So this is a postpartum one, and I know there's also a scale that's meant just for prenatals, for measuring prenatal self-efficacy, and I wondered if there's a relationship there, if there's anything in the literature that says, you know, if they've got horrible prenatal breastfeeding self-efficacy, if that then leads to...
Well, using this scale, if she had high prenatal self-efficacy, she was going to breastfeed. That's an indicator of initiation, duration, and exclusivity to varying degrees. So, yes, there is that connection, but I can only speak in general terms. I wish I could answer better. That's a good question. Thank you. Yeah, that would be an interesting thing to further investigate. Yes, wouldn't that be interesting? Because so often it's the provider's own personal experience that they're drawing from in communicating their care and their advice rather than clinical knowledge or recent training. That's a great point.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.